This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Try This at Home, an MCO-inspired series that looks at new skills you might want to pick up or experiment with while you're safe at home. I'm Hezrul Ashraf, along with Kelvin Yee.
Yeah, today we're focusing on learning a new language. I think in general, this is something that a lot of people dream of doing someday. And with some of us having just a bit more time on our hands than usual, it seems like as good a time as any to try it out.
For sure. I love languages and I speak French, Arabic and some Spanish. Growing up, I lived around the world and found that besides food, languages are one of the best ways to connect with different peoples and cultures. And, you know, it's really interesting how once I reach a good level of proficiency, I'm able to understand the nuances of certain words and expressions that English translations simply just can't capture.
Yeah, I think so, you know, which I think I happened to miss out watching one of the best films of this year, Parasite. You know, there's a lot of things that you can't catch because there are certain key things that are just very specific to that language. And, you know, for me, learning languages is just an overall desire to learn new things and to try things out. You know, I've dabbled with lessons on YouTube, started, stopped and restarted using Duolingo time and time again. I could just never get it right.
Well, so with that, to take us through the wonders of learning new languages, we've got Melody Bartou, course director at Alliance Française Kuala Lumpur, and Veronica Atin, Karazan Dusun, and English lecturer at University Malaysia Sabah. If you have any questions or thoughts, you can WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Melody, Veron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great.
Lovely. So have either of you noticed a spike of interest in picking up a new language, you know, whether it was since the start of the MCO or before? Veron, maybe you could go first.
Okay. In my case, I wouldn't really say there has been a spike because it has always been that way in Sabah. People seem to be really interested in learning new language. So I used to be handling the foreign language courses in University Malaysia Sabah. And the main problem I faced then were students want to learn a certain language or certain languages, and they could never get enough place to be there. So I guess language is always something interesting for people.
And Melody?
So actually, yeah, I agree with Veron. There is always a very big interest for people to learn new languages and to discover new cultures. But I would say that anyway, at Alliance Française, we were quite amazed and surprised by the big responses we had when we opened new online classes for beginners, because when the MCO started, of course, we had to close our centers, and very quickly we came with an online offer for our students, but also for beginners. But we were not sure that we will attract newcomers in this uncertain period. And we were very, very surprised and happily surprised, because the classes for beginners we opened online were very quickly full, and we had to open new slots, and that was really great, actually.
And for you, Veron, how's that been like since the MCO when it comes to teaching?
I forgot to mention the fact that I am on leave from teaching. So for this semester, I'm only helping colleagues prepare materials and also test items. But I could really see that things have changed a lot since MCO. Now they have to use online platform more than usual. Before this, it was blended learning, where it was 70-30, 70% face-to-face and 30% online. But it's now 100% online, so it's really different now.
And Melody?
So for us, the same. We had to stop, of course, our classes in the classrooms and to start online. So we had to adjust ourselves to the online framework and to go with more, of course, new tools. So we had to get familiar with the new tools and teach the students, so explain them to the students as well, how to use them, how to enjoy them as well. So it's a little bit of adjustments for all of us, but it's going great. rate, I would say that the response from the students is very positive. So I think that our teachers manage to convince the students that learning online is also a good option.
Yep.
That's fantastic. And, you know, when you think about these classes, what are some of the objectives you want your students to meet? Is it enough for them to just be conversational, or do they have to be able to function on a more professional capacity when it comes to using that language? Maybe, Varun, you can take this one first.
Okay. As for us in University of Malaysia Sabah, we have to align our objectives to the goal of the university as well. The basic goal for students learning foreign languages is actually to be able to communicate in basic situations. But as a lecturer of Kadaz Anderson, I have my own selfish objective, which is I would like the students to actually get to know the culture of the community speaker. I think that is very important. So to be communicative and also to get to know the culture of the community speaker.
Melody, what goals do you set for your students generally?
Actually, it's it's very, very diverse goals, because the students who come to us are very, very different. So they can come just for the fun. Okay, they could pick a sport class or music class, but they choose to learn a new language. Some are very interested by the culture and the language, or the literature or the arts. Some come here because they have academic goals, so they have to sit for exams, so and they want extra classes to reach these goals. Some come because they are married to a French-speaking person and they want to be able to interact with the parents-in-law. And some come because they want to add French as a plus on their resume for professional reasons. So the goals are very, very different. Some want to sit for exams, some don't. Some want to get a very high level. Some are just to meet and to socialize with other students. So we have to work with all these different goals. And actually, our goals are the same as Varun explained just right now. Learning a language is about communication. So you learn a language because you want to be able to communicate in the language. Written communication and oral communication, of course. So we want to develop all these skills to adapt to the goals of the students, and sometimes to offer them to be a little bit more ambitious with their goals. But we want them to enjoy the classes, to make interactive and lively classes, to make them discover the culture is a very important part as well, so that they really enjoy their class and that they get more ambitious. Those who come only just for fun, they can discover that it can be really a great activity and a great, great learning.
Yeah, I guess impressing the in-laws is very important, isn't it? So now that we're all safely at home and most of us are working from home, if someone is thinking of picking up a new language to learn, how would you suggest they go about doing it? What are some things people have to consider before they begin?
Melody, would you like to answer that first?
Yes, Aina. So, when you learn a language, it's an activity, but like any activity, you have to be clear about your goals and your motivation. If you register to a sport class or music class, as I mentioned earlier, you have to commit to it so that you can get rewarded for your efforts. So it means that it's sure that learning a new language will help you to meet new people, discover a new world. And if you have motivation for it, and if you commit into it, yes, this will be great. So you just don't consider it like picking a language, a class language, and it asks and coming sometimes. I think everyone will agree with me. Requires commitment and regularity.
Actually, yes, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, before deciding on learning a new language, you need to first determine your goals. Why do you want to learn that language? Is it because you want it to help in your job later, or just want to do it because you are interested in the culture, you want to travel, you want to get married to somebody from that culture? And after that, you need to have commitment. Yeah, you need to be able to commit to the language learning process. And also, I think during this MCO time, because it's not that easy to go find a place where you can learn, you need to do some research online where you can learn the language. Find a website or something that can offer you courses on that language. And maybe after that, you register formally. And after that, the commitment comes. You need to be really committed to learning the language.
Which is something I've struggled with. And I think it's because partially I seem to maybe set unrealistic or underestimate the amount of time it takes that you need to commit to learning a language. Roughly how much time will it require?
It depends on your goal. In the languages you can speak already and also on the language you pick. For example, if you're a French person and you want to learn Spanish, it will be very quick. But if you are a French-speaking person and you want to learn Mandarin or Japanese, which is a very, very different language from French, it will take a lot more time.
Yeah, exactly. In UMS, we offer English for Chinese students from China. That's just one example. So they have to do a very intensive course of every day times 9 hours per day, 6 to 9 hours per day. But for Kadazandusun learners, yeah, because we are offering Kadazandusun as a basic language, they just need to be able to communicate at the end of 3 semesters, that means 3 levels. They only have to come 3 hours in the class per week. Yeah, but they have other exercises to do as well. Yeah, so that's the difference.
Great. And on that note, we'll be continuing the conversation right after this. We're speaking with Melody Bartou, course director at Alliance Française KL, and Veronica Atin, Kadazandusun and English lecturer at UMS. After this, we'll talk with Melody and Veron about some tips about how to go about learning new languages. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It's Try This at Home together with Hezrel Ashraf and Kelvin Yi. We're talking about learning new languages today with Melody Bartou, course director at Alliance Française KL, and Veronica Atin, Kadazandusun and English lecturer at UMS. If you have any questions, you can WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So now, I speak a few languages and sometimes, you know, I really don't practice and I'm not very disciplined when it comes to retaining some of the things that I've learned, for example, for French and Arabic. So what's the difference between picking up a language, you know, completely fresh and then trying to pick it up again after a long period of not using it? Melody, would you like to start?
So it's true that unfortunately you can be fluent in one language, but when you stop using it, you lose almost everything in your speaking skills. So sometimes you can still understand when you listen to it or when you read it, but when it comes to produce a language, it's a lot more difficult. So unfortunately, you have to practice in order to maintain the same level of the language. So I would say that sometimes when you come back to a language you haven't practiced for a very long time, it can be a little bit frustrating to start over and to say, okay, I could do all that and I have to learn it again. So it can be frustrating. And also the thing is that sometimes you don't forget, you don't lose all your skills at the same pace. Mm. It means that you will maybe lose your grammar, your structure, but you will be still able to understand and to produce a lot of vocabulary. So it's when we have students coming to Alliance Française, in this situation, it's quite hard for us to assess their level and to advise them the best class for them, because sometimes they still have a very high level of speaking skills, mm-hmm. but the structure is very bad. So we have to find the right balance for them to still be interested in the class, whereas the speaking level, spoken level, communication level will still be high enough, but they will still be able to revise and to refresh their structure in the language. So here I would say that you have you have to know your goals while you are coming back to the language. And is it just only to be able to communicate again and speak again, and then the structure is not the most important thing? Or you really want, okay, you have to sit for an exam for any academic reason, so you have to come back to the very basics to be able to have a perfect structure and everything.
Varun, I guess that might also apply in your context as well, right? And I'm also thinking additionally that, you know, I think being the fact that Karasan Dusun is still spoken in many homes among the older generation especially, and then kids, after when they grow up, they realize, hey, I want to pick this up as a language. Is there a difference there between trying to pick up a language that I guess you've sort of heard at home a lot and then trying to now learn it officially as an adult, I guess?
Okay, I think I'll just give some background on the language situation in the Karasan Dusun homes in Sabah. Actually, Karasan Dusun is shifting. English and Malay are taking over in most homes. Children might still be passive learners. They can still be passive communicators. They understand what the parents or grandparents are saying, but they can't really speak the language as fluently as the previous generation. So, yeah. In such a case, I would say if they want to learn, they will learn the language as heritage language learners. Right. They know the culture, yeah. They know some vocabs, they know some structures, but it is very difficult for them to actually produce communicative string of sentences. In such a case, I think there are some negative aspects to this. They know that certain things about the language might be daunting. For example, the grammar, it might be too difficult for them to actually produce. So it might discourage them a bit compared to somebody who is completely picking the language up fresh. For example, our foreign language learners of Karasan Dusun, they know that they need to learn from scratch. And so we just ask them to have language learning goals, and then we give them a set of vocabulary to learn the right words for that goal and start using the language every day if it is possible, and give them fun activities to learn. So it might be so much more easier for fresh language learners, I would say.
Right. So, Varun, since we're on the local sort of context of language, then, since many of us in Malaysia are fluent in more than one language, do you think that gives us an advantage, or might it actually work against us?
I would say it is an advantage. Yeah, why? Because at least for us in Malaysia, we know two languages, right? Malay and English. That is the most basic ones for a Malaysian speaker. So somebody who knows two languages, who wants to learn a new language, will have the advantage of knowing how to compare and contrast certain aspect of the language. For example, Malay doesn't have any past tense marker on the verb. English does, and Karasan Dusun does. So somebody learning Karasan Dusun will be able to compare English with Karasan Dusun in order to understand how past tense work and to contrast it to Malay structure so that they know that, oh, these two languages differ. So I think it works as an advantage to these learners.
Right. So, yeah, Melody, do you think that, have you found that Malaysians have an advantage when it comes to learning French? Like, for instance, I know in France, in certain regions, some of the French population can speak both French and German, for example, right, and not just French. So do you think this gives us an advantage when it comes to learning new languages?
Yeah, I would say definitely there is, Malaysian citizens are more open-minded in new languages and to be able to switch from one language to another one compared to French people. Because when in France, there is only one language, French, because in the history, all the regional languages has been forbidden by the government so that everyone in the country can speak only one language. So it's a very different history for the language in France, which makes that French people, most of them can only speak French. When you travel to France, and some So it changes now with the newer generation. But French people, when you speak English in France, they don't want to come to you. Mm. And they don't want to be very nice with you. Not always, I mean. So it's a bit a cliche, but it's true in some regions. But here, people are more open to languages and they know how they learn other languages. The only difference is that most of the languages they learned here in Malaysia are part of their identity, and they learned it not as foreign languages, but as mother languages. And this is a completely different process, because when you learn a language as a child, you don't talk, you don't consider the grammar, the structure. It comes to you, and the teachers, the parents, when you are very young, they correct you so that you have a good language. But when you learn a foreign language, you discover things that you never thought about. For example, I would talk about conjugation, because Veron also mentioned that, the past tenses. It's true that it's in Malay or even in Mandarin, for example, the conjugation is a very little. There is no real conjugation. English has a little bit of conjugation. You would change the verbs in the past or in the present tense with he, etc., or some verbs like to be or to have. But in France, in French, conjugation is a lot more complex. And sometimes I can realize when we teach adults or teenagers that they don't even understand the notion of conjugating a verb. They do it, but they don't know that they do it in English, for example. So we have to explain them what it is and how it works and why it is important to respect that. Because sometimes they do it or they don't do it properly in English, for example, because here in Malaysia, the important thing is communication. So I can notice, and it's not a criticism, that sometimes Malaysians, they can speak a lot of languages, but they are not speaking them following 100% of the rules. Mm. Because here, what is important, being able to communicate, which is really the first goal you have when you speak a language, is to communicate. But of course, in class, we want to work on better structures and everything. So sometimes it's an advantage to speak several languages, because you have more experience and you can compare to several different languages. Mm. But sometimes it's also a disadvantage, because, okay, you don't care. What you want is just to communicate. But it depends on your goals. If your goal is to learn French or any other language, only to communicate and not to speak a very 100% perfect French or language.
And yeah, just on that note, actually, Varun, where do you stand on this? You know, what are your thoughts on grammar and its importance? You know, like Melody said, we seem to, in general, there's the understanding that we seem to prefer just being able to communicate well. So long as you understand me, that's more than enough. Where do you stand on this?
As a language instructor, I would say grammar is very important if you want to achieve a high level fluency of that language. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is just to be communicative, then I would forgive you for not really knowing the grammar. It is enough for you to know just the pronunciation, vocabulary, and how to string together words to make sentences so that people can understand you. I can accept that for basic learners. But if you want to be able to use the language in job environment, for example, then there's no excuse. You really need to know your grammar, I would say.
Mm. Now, what are the challenges to learning new languages as adults? You know, you often hear of it being easier for kids to learn because their brains are essentially like sponges and they can absorb new knowledge much faster. Like I found myself learning, languages like Spanish much faster than my parents because I sort of soak things up very fast. What do you guys think of this?
I think I'll start with this one. Unfortunately, it is quite true in my experience that adults do have more challenges learning a new language compared to children. There is a theory about this, but we're not really interested in knowing the theory. But, as you mentioned just now, children are more able to actually acquire the language easily, easier than adult. Some people just dismiss this as a myth, but I think this is something that we can't really get rid of. It is quite true. I can see that children pick up the vocab, pronunciation, or even grammar very fast, and most adults seem to struggle with them. And maybe because logically children have less worries about life in general, and we adults have more worries. So I think it is a bit more difficult, more challenging for adults to learn. So adults will need to spend more time and commitment on learning a language.
Melody, your thoughts?
The thing is also that teenagers and young adults, they are still in a learning process in their daily life. They are at school, they are in the university. So their brain is used to think and to learn on a daily basis. For adults, it's not the same. So when you come back to a class, a language class, you have to make your brain, to put your brain in a learning mode again. And in an academic learning mode again. So this is something that can be sometimes challenging. It's not only a question of brain capacities, but also of brain mode that you have to put it on. And but I would say that adults have an advantage compared to children in the abstraction capacities they have. So they are able, of course, they cannot pick a language just like sponges, but they have the capacity of understanding the structure of the language. And they have to, in terms of, we are talking about grammar, conjugation, they can go deeper and master easily, more easily some notions because they can understand them. Children cannot because they don't have these abstractions. They just reproduce sentences and the models they have, and they try to create new patterns. But adults, they can understand it. But it's true that in terms of memorizing, it's a memorizing things anyway is a capacity you have to get trained for. So that's why also we say very often, it says that learning languages, it's very good to fight against brain degeneration. I'm not sure about the word in English.
Yeah, that's right. But, degeneration, yeah.
It's something that after 50 years or 60 years old, it's good to come back to a language, not to master it, but only to make your brain still think, learn, and it's very good for the brain capacities, actually.
Right. So on that note, actually, when you are going for classes, when you're choosing to, say, sign up for them, either in person or online, what other materials or tools can sort of serve as support when we're trying to learn a new language? Maybe I'll have Varun take this first.
Okay. I would say that in order to learn a language effectively, we need to have fun in learning. So normally in my classes, I would use games, I would use songs, movies, and also I would encourage the learners to actually read something light, like novels. Mm. People might say that this is very basic. I know people criticize novel being good reading materials, but I would say when you read novels, you actually know how the discourse is used in the community to speak of that language. So yeah, those are some of the things that you can use apart from online apps and websites, interactive websites that help you with understanding language.
Melody, what would you consider as supporting materials?
Actually, exactly the same as Veron. We are really quite a lot. So I would say games are very... So having fun in a classroom. When you have a class, when you are not just online, but when you have a class and a teacher and classmates, a lot of interaction is the best and a lot of fun. So fun is also games, movement, sometimes even for adults doing games, or sometimes, with a ball, you do games. It can be very fun and very motivating. And because also with games, you practice the language without noticing it. So that's why that's what also we want to achieve, that they have fun and they forget that they are practicing, and then also some others are a little bit inhibited. They don't. You know, it's quite hard to speak a new language because you're not sure about what you say. So when you play, when you are engaged in a game, you forget all these inhibitions. So that can be good. And also, any material is good. And in a classroom, it's also good as a teacher to change the supporting materials, because some students will be more interested in listening or in reading or in playing. So you have to change so that you can renew the interests of the student and also meet the interests of each student.
Now, speaking of classroom learning, I remember learning French in school that sometimes my French teacher would turn on movies like Emily or The Intouchable, you know, to reinforce, to familiarize ourselves with the sounds, you know, how things are structured. So then what role does entertainment such as shows or movies or even podcasts play? And are there any you'd recommend? Melody, since we're talking about French, maybe you can start first.
So anything, I would say that any materials would be good for you to improve in French, as long as you are interested in them. If you are not interested in learning novels in your own language, of course, reading novels in another language won't be very interesting and motivating for you. But if you are very interested in movies, in any language, of course, I would recommend you to watch movies in French with or without English subtitles, or with French subtitles would be even better, so that you can pick the language, pick the sentences, recognize words, recognize, understand sentences, and also see that you don't learn a language just for the fun of doing grammar exercises. You learn a language because you want to discover a culture, open your world. So it's great to take any opportunity to be in touch with the language, with any material. Actually, you can listen to podcasts if your level is high enough, but you have to listen to podcasts on a topic that interests you. A science topic. If you are interested in sciences, you listen to a science podcast, or you watch a science a documentary on animals or anything. So you have to, if you want to keep your motivation high, you have to choose materials that are matching with your interests.
Yeah. So Varun, are there any shows or movies that you would recommend? And do you use forms of entertainment to teach your students?
I am in the same boat with Melody. I agree that every teaching material, every material such as movies, songs and novels are helpful. But I would like to add on that. I think it helps for students to know their learning styles. Some of us are visual learners. Some of us are auditory learners. So if you're a visual learner, novels might work for you. You like to read and all that. But for some people who are not visual, it might bore them to death. So they need to find other ways, yeah, to do their learning. For example, if you are somebody who's auditory, you like to listen to things. So YouTube, explanation, movies, and also something that has sound might interest you more. And it might work for you, rather than trying to force yourself to do something that is not matching with your learning style.
Also, we did not mention songs. So you mentioned them, but songs is also a great way. We have a lot of students who are very motivating in music, and so they find groups or musicians or singers, French singers, on YouTube, and then they try to write down the lyrics to understand, and they work and they improve their French level like that. And I can remember that when I was a teenager, I used to do the same with English songs. I took some English songs, very easy, you know, Leonard Cohen or things like that, because he has a very good pronunciation. It's very easy to understand. And I used to try to write and to understand the lyrics by myself before checking with the proper lyrics. So I think that's a very motivating way of improving your vocabulary, your listening skills as well. And we have a lot of students who do that by themselves.
Yeah.
So immersion, that's always something that's been cited as something important for someone to do if you're trying to pick up a language. Veron, what's your take on this? How important is it? And actually, if you don't happen to live in a place that allows for that amount of immersion, how do you get around it?
I actually agree with this. There is this Japanese girl I met in UMS a few years back. I met her in a conference. She's from Japan, and she was actually doing a postgraduate degree in one of the science fields.
Yeah.
But she is very interested. She was very interested in Kadazandusun. So she decided to go and live with a family in a very rural area in Sabah, in a village. So the time I met her, she had been with the family for a few months, and she could speak the language really, really well, very fluently. So I think immersion really works. So if you can't have such situation in language learning, the closest would be for you to maybe listen to songs or watch movies that will give you some ideas of how the language is really used in real life. Yeah. Melody?
Yes. If you want to learn language, as we mentioned before, regularity and motivation are very important. And I would say that we have a lot of students who can have the self motivation and to learn by themselves online, but it's always limited actually, because when you learn online only with apps, for example, you can improve your skills in reading skill, in vocabulary. You can improve your vocabulary, but there is no one to tell you if you are pronouncing good, if you are writing properly or speaking properly. You can only improve your reception skills, which is listening and reading. For speaking and writing, you need an interaction, a real interaction with someone. So, and when you learn only by yourself, yes, at some point you may lose your motivation and you have always something better to do. So I would think that registering to a class is always the best way to learn, because you will also meet new people and get socialize as well, and meet people you would have never met somewhere else. It's also a good way of meeting people. And as you have a class, you have a regular rendezvous with the French language or with your learning language, and that's very important, because you commit to this regular classes. Which is very important.
Right. That's very interesting that you brought this up now, because language apps are the next big thing, and we love using apps like Duolingo. So how helpful or effective are learning apps, like Duolingo or Babbel? Maybe Veron, you can go first.
Okay. To be very honest with you, I haven't actually utilized any learning apps before fully. Partly because Kadazandusun is a minority language. It is considered as a less commonly taught language, in which you can't really find a lot of support in the internet. But for English learning, I've occasionally used teaching and learning apps. Not really apps, platform like online interactive quizzes. And because maybe I'm an eclectic teacher, I don't really stick to one app. But I would say that for language learning apps to be effective, they need to have certain structure, like provide activities, not only provide activities, but they have to have a very good structure. For example, in the beginning, they need to expose the learners to pronunciation and vocabulary before moving up to basic sentence structure and grammar. So if an app actually have that, I think it will be very effective, and especially because apps, we know how apps are, they're interactive, they're fun and all that. I think it would actually be beneficial for the learners.
Yeah, hopefully someone comes up with more Karazandusun, you know, apps and online materials. So on that note, then, Melody, I'm sure you have a different experience with apps, perhaps, because French is a bit more accessible in terms of those kinds of tools, right?
I would say that, of course, as teachers, we prefer to have real interactions with the learner rather than them just learning online. But I would say that, of course, some apps are very well structured and done. And so I would say that some of them can be very useful to supplement the class, the classroom. For example, if you want more practice outside of your classroom, you can use them. Or if you stopped learning a language, as we mentioned earlier, you learned the language when you were at school and then you haven't spoken or practiced it for a long time and you want to come back to it, of course, you can use the app. An app to refresh what you learn, and notions that are not brand new, but notions that you learned before, if you want to improve, if you already have a good level in the language, because you already know everything about pronunciation, you already understood the structure in the past. So this is a good thing. Or, for example, if you are preparing for an exam, for example, last year, myself, I prepared an English exam. So I went on a few apps or website to get more practice, more vocabulary, better sentences, etc., because I still have a lot to learn in English. So this is good for short terms and with short terms goals or very clear goals. But I am less convinced by apps who will promise you to learn a language from the scratch very properly. I would say it's better to practice or to enrich your practice or to review things that you've learned before rather than learn a language as a basic learner.
There we go. Thanks so much for your time. You just heard Melody Bartou, course director at Alliance Française Kuala Lumpur, and Veronica Atin Kadazandusun, an English lecturer at University Malaysia Sabah, talking to us about learning new languages for today's episode of Try This at Home. And do keep your thoughts coming. Send them through WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.